So, we have a lot of confession to do, but I'm really impressed by the hardcore turnout this morning. And 9 o'clock in the morning at these conferences, this is not the usual response. And I think I see it as a recognition, the fact that we really are turning a corner here. And I'm really proud to be here, and I'm not going to go into since we only have 5 minutes.
Who are you?
I'm David Kubiak. I used to be the executive director of 911truth.org. And sort of I'm emeritus right now. Janice has taken over wonderfully. And I'm supposed to be one of the strategy people. So I would like to talk a little bit about strategy today so we can wring the most possible concrete progress out of this weekend. And that's basically what I'd like to talk to you just a couple of minutes, because when we think about where we are in the movement, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And Carol gave a good rundown about one particular mode, and then there's the cliche that's attributed to everybody about first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they attack you, and then you win. Okay, we've been ignored for a long time, and we've been laughed at. And right now, we're approaching the attack phase. If you thought the popular mechanics attack piece was something, you haven't seen nothing yet. The Zogby poll that we just conducted, I don't know how many people paid attention to that, except perhaps the numbers. But we ran it through with John Zogby's son this time, as opposed to John Zogby himself. And there were all these conditions on it and all this crap, and they would not put out the press release for us because he was getting too much grief from his neighbors in the offices. His father, on the first poll we did in New York that showed that 66% of the people there wanted a new investigation, and half of them, 49.5%, believed in the complicity of the government. That was done with the father. So he is actually 9/11 hip. And I don't know if you know about Zogby, but it's one of the most prominent polling groups in the entire country. And they quote them on everything except us. So afterwards, they tried to distance themselves because our press release was too hot to handle. And I called John Zogby when they put this disclaimer on their website, saying that a person had misidentified themselves as a co-author, which was me, and did not have anything to do with Zogby, and did not have anything to do with the poll as they saw it. And I called him up, knowing him from the first poll, and I said, look, that, you know, this is clearly not true. I was one of three people that worked on this. You can't go out and deny it in public. And he said, look, Tuesday, the day after that poll came out, before I even got to the office, when I was on the highway on my cell phone, the managing editor of the Wall Street Journal, the director of NBC News, and the president of another major media corporation that we are a client, who's a client of ours, all called me up and said, what's going on with this poll? Okay? They did not report on it, but everybody knows about it, which means that everybody in all of the Republican and neocon rapid response think tanks knows about it too. In other words, this is an important statistic, not just for us, but for them. And from now on, we're going to see a whole new complexion in the kind of attacks we're getting, the way we're treated in the media. I mean, up till now, we've been benignly ignored. But I think in the next few months, unless we take this in our hands ourselves, we are really going to be bombed. I think right out of this meeting, the most important thing for us is to think really what the hell it is we're doing here. Moving on, just expanding our networking and doing the things you usually do at a conference, I don't think at this point really is enough. We have to take this idea that we're here for strategy seriously. And if you think about strategy, and lights are off, so I can't even see my notes, so I'm going to have to wing this, excuse me. But we've got four basic points to compose a strategy. You first need a mission, okay? You need some idea, long-term goal, where the hell we're going, why we're doing this. And given the quality of the people here, I think you can pretty much characterize that as we're all basically against poverty, against hatred, against war, and against the destruction of the natural world. Okay, that's a great long-term goal, and that's going to take us a bit of time, you know? 2020, 2012, maybe if we're lucky, we can make big major dents in that. But in the meantime, before we can figure out what our tactics are, what our strategies are, we have to figure out what our midterm goals are, what we can work together, what we can coalesce our energies together, what we can coordinate our energies so we become more than the sum of our parts. And what kind of goals are we going to put before us? Like for the end of November this year, for example, or September 11th, 2007, or the presidential elections 2008. If we don't have some concrete envisionment of what it is we're working toward, we're going to lose so damn much energy, and there's going to be so much conflict because there's going to be no way to judge what tactics are working and what tactics aren't. And there's going to be no way to really craft a strategy around this, because if we don't know where we're going, we have no way to measure anything, really. So I'm not talking about a uniform, you know, lockstep kind of progress. I'm talking about a vision in the future that all of our individual efforts can start to converge upon, that the artistic side of it, our IT people can start working on some aspects of it, our grassroots outreach organizers can each have a piece of the action and can each come up with creative approaches. Because all of the best tactics are both creative, and they're both cooperative and competitive. I mean, they're cooperative in the sense we're all heading in the same direction. They're competitive because everybody wants to be a little bit cooler than somebody else and get there first. So all of that is good, and all of it helps drive the thing along, but we still have to have a point that we agree on that we're going to try to work for example, just midterm for this November. And for example, we could say, we could choose a semi-political goal and say, okay, our goal is by November of 2006 is to have drenched the whole goddamn campaign with 9/11. Amen. Go out and make sure that every single candidate for Congress or Senate has to go on the record at some point, has to have some press release that says where the hell they stand on this. Will they support an investigation? Won't they support an investigation? Why? Okay? This is not a huge effort. There's a limited number of people. I mean, you want to replace the whole goddamn Congress, Democrat and Republican alike, but unfortunately, we got to work with what we got. And we have to support, like, the insurrectional candidates within the parties that are willing to address this. And if they start looking at these poll numbers and see 45% of the people want this damn thing, okay, and only 48% of the people think it's over, all of a sudden they've got a whole new constituency that they can start to appeal to. Because when you're talking about the corporate takeover of the universe, 9/11 was the nail in the coffin that basically set the whole thing up. And people are starting to realize that. People on the right, people like Ron Paul on the Republican side, people, you know, on the left, the Kucinich crowd, Barbara Boxer, all those people are starting to get the message. And when they start to see it coming out of polls, they know that those are potential voters, potential votes, and they know there's enough passion in this to motivate people. Because it's not like, you know, what do you feel about fluoride in your water? What do you feel about mass murder in New York that has closed down your civil liberties and is causing war around the world? Has a rather more visceral impact. And it's something that any decent or talented politician can actually mobilize a lot of support around. So if that's our goal, that's what we should go for. Or we could go basically and try for something and say, oh, all right, we're looking for a commission. We need an independent investigation. We've got 70 million people in America that say that they want to see an investigation. If 1% of them, 1% kicked in $5, we'd have $3.5 million to mount an investigation, which could be pretty classy as far as, you know, modern standards go. We could draw in people from the 9/11 truth statement that we put out 2 years ago. We got Nader to sign on that for the independents. We got Cobb for the Greens. We got Badnarik for the libertarians. We could get people like Ron Paul bring on the Republican side, Kucinich, again, Barbara Boxer, Maxine Waters. We could stack extraordinarily respectable politicians that covered the entire spectrum. We could put it in charge of the families. I've been talking to the Jersey girls, and actually Lori Van Auken is going to try to send us a little message of encouragement tonight. But they would participate in helping set this up, and they should have been the ones that set it up in the first place, because they were the ones that got the commission going, and they were the ones that were so bitterly disappointed and betrayed by the final outcome. And they are still pissed, okay? So we've got that as a possible thing, because we have people that are respectable all across the spectrum. We've got religious leaders. Thanks to David Ray Griffin, we've got a half a dozen top-flight Christian theologians. We've got Rabbi Michael Lerner of Tikkun. We've got highly respected imams like Dr. Faiz Khan. I mean, we could cover every level of society here in a proper commission design, and we could be working on that this year. They couldn't indict. We couldn't get subpoena power, but at that level of respectability and at that level of visibility, we could crucify. And that is the first step to bringing the people around to saying what we really need, okay? So what I really wish you would think about, and I really wish we had time to actually perform like a straw poll here about what it is we're going to try to shoot for, because that is going to help us winnow our tactics, it's going to help us shape and craft our strategy, and it's going to help us avoid a hell of a lot of useless conflict, which often comes out of these conferences when people are debating over the divisive details of what happened here and what happened there. All of that stuff, it really weakens us if we don't have something to look forward to and see where our power is supposed to converge. And if it's only internally right now, because we can't enforce anything on anybody, we don't want to. But try to think, what is the best possible outcome of this? What is the best possible strategy that's going to have the most effect, that's going to reach more people, and is going to basically help us coordinate and smooth our operations over the course of this year? Because, Christ, I really don't want to become at a 9/11 conference in 10 years. I don't want to be a JFKite, you know? And we always have to realize that, because 45% sounds really groovy until you suddenly realize on the 40th anniversary of JFK assassination, the polls showed that 75 to 80% of Americans did not believe in the Warren Commission, that did believe there was a conspiracy. And look what the good that's done us politically, okay? It's more than public opinion. We have to figure out how to mobilize that, how to focus that, and how to turn it into a force for absolute revolutionary change. And that is our mission here, and God forgive us if we fuck it up. Thank you very much.